Took me a second. I was like, is that right? Well, that's right. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a mighty trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Father, we thank you for this great little paragraph. Help us see it, understand it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Look up in the air. Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's Superman. That's right. Remember those? Some of you that are younger. You miss all the great stuff. Anyway. There was that cartoon where you looked into the sky and you weren't sure what it was. And even now, there are times when you look up into the heavens and you're like, oh, what is that? Is it a shooting star? Is it a satellite? You look, is it a hawk or is it an eagle? Or is it just a big crow or raven? So looking up into the sky is something that we have done all of our lives, trying to decipher what we have seen, trying to determine what is exactly is it that we are looking at. There's a day coming when it won't be hard to decide, and everyone will see the same thing at the same time. Now think about that for a second. There's a day coming, not when you look into the sky and you look and go, is that a bird? What kind of bird? And somebody in Wisconsin is not seeing the same thing that you see. What they're seeing in Wisconsin is a stadium full of Honolulu and blue watching their poor Packers be demolished by the lot. Oh, no, that was Thursday. That was Thursday. Sorry. But they're not seeing the same thing that you're seeing. But there's a day coming that not only will the people in Wisconsin see the same thing that the people in Michigan see, but the people in Australia will see the same thing that the people in Michigan are seeing. Yeah, it's an amazing thought. So here is what Matthew is trying to help us understand. Here's the end of the one moment in the beginning of another moment. But immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now, if you go back and you read chapter 24, verse 9, and chapter 24, verse 21, it talks about the tribulation. We looked at that last week, the abomination of the desolation. We began to look at that seven-year period of time. So the next great event in the church history will be what we call the rapture. All of the Christians will be taken up out of the earth, and then it will inaugurate this seven-year period of tribulation that will have lots of little pictures in it, but basically the picture that we will most understand is during that 7 years, the Antichrist will come on the scene. He will perform great signs and wonders. He will deceive many. He will cause there to be at least the sense of peace with the Middle East and Israel for a period of time. Then at the midway point, that treaty, that peace will be shattered. And as a result of that, God begins to pour out his judgment upon the earth during that period of time. At the end, immediately after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened. So we have this period of time where we see all of these things begin to take place. The sun is darkened. The moon fails to give its light. The stars fall from the sky. And then there's an interesting phrase that Matthew uses. And the powers of the heavens will be shaken. It's interesting. We don't know what this actually means. I was curious to study this week and came across a couple of very interesting ideas about what that phrase, powers of the heavens will be shaken, and how others understood that. This is some of the ideas that they had. They believe that it's referring to the natural laws of life, meaning gravity ceases. Think about that for a second. Some said that it could have the idea that the earth's rotation changes, slows, speeds up, is not as accurate as it is. Some argued that it would be visible with the idea of there being great heat or great cold. Sound familiar? In Luke chapter 21, it says, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth dismay among the nations. This is Luke's account of the same story that Matthew is giving. In perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. In Joel chapter 2, Joel talks a lot about the day of the Lord, the end times when Christ returns. Before them, the earth quakes, the heavens tremble. The sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars lose their brightness. The Lord utters his voice before his army. Surely his camp is very great, for strong is he who carries out his word. The day of the Lord is indeed great and very awesome. Who can endure it? And in Joel chapter 2, verses 30 to 31, he says, I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. So here we are at the beginning of verse 29, that this is the end of the tribulation. Matthew kind of wraps this up and he says, but immediately after the tribulation, here are some things that you will see. Sun darken, the moon will not give its light, which is obvious because the moon gets its light from the reflection of the sun. And the stars will fall from the sky and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then. So we have the end of one 7-year period of time. Now we begin to see what Matthew says is going to happen next. What's coming next? And then the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Now, the Son of Man is a title that Jesus used for himself all through his earthly ministry. It comes from the book of Daniel. But the Son of Man described Jesus was, that was the description that he used for himself. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, it says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed in intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. In Revelation 21:1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. So the Son of Man comes. When Christ comes and he appears in the sky, all will see. So some argued that there was a sign, meaning that somehow there was some symbol, like a cross or something that appeared in the sky, and everybody would recognize it and everybody would see it. And that would be what was shown in the sky. But in fact, I think what happens is the Son of Man will come. He will appear in the sky. He will reveal himself. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Jesus is going to come. He's going to appear in the sky. And all of those from the four corners of the earth, we gather together. But then it says this, when he comes in the skies, all the tribes of the earth will mourn. because they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds in the sky with power and great glory. Why will they mourn at the coming of the Son of Man? I think what will happen is that when Christ returns and he descends from heaven on the clouds with great glory, all of those who have rejected him will mourn because they will see the truth. It will be revealed to them that all the things that they had been taught, all of the things that they had heard, this gospel message, because remember what Matthew tells us earlier, that the gospel will be preached to every nation, that every single person will have had an opportunity to respond to the gospel message. But they will mourn because they had rejected the gospel message. The word there is actually the idea of to beat their chest in agony, knowing they've had rejected what has now become evidently true. Imagine for a second, you have been taught, you have heard the gospel, that if you believe in your heart and speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. You've been told that if you believe and trust and pray, you are born again. And as a result of that redemption, you have an eternity established for you in heaven forever. And you have turned that down. You have walked away from that message. You have ridiculed the message. You have mocked the message. You have rejected the idea of the salvation of Jesus Christ. You've rejected the idea that there is a God. You've rejected the idea of sin and salvation and eternity and heaven and hell. And you've refused to believe all of that. And then the Son of Man appears in the sky. And all that you have believed to be false has now become true. I believe, 2 Thessalonians teaches, that at that point, all of those who have had a chance to believe and rejected Christ will be incapable of believing after. I believe 2 Thessalonians teaches that God will send a deluding spirit, and all of those who have rejected him before will continue to believe the lie. The nations will mourn because what they had offered to them and they rejected has now been proven true. In Isaiah chapter 13, verses 6 to 12. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore, all hands will fall limp and every man's heart will melt. They will be terrified. Pains and anguish will take hold of them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look at one another in astonishment. Their faces aflame. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, cruel with fury and burning anger, to make the land a desolation. And he will exterminate its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash forth their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. Thus I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will also put an end to the arrogance of the proud and abase the haughtiness of the ruthless. I will make mortal man scarcer than pure gold, and mankind the gold of a fur. He will come in great power, in great glory. Who has seen God? When you read through the scriptures, you notice that there are people who have occasionally had the opportunity to catch a glimpse of God. I think the phrase that Matthew uses here, that he will come in great glory, in great power. I think it's in a revealing that has never before ever been seen by anyone. Adam and Eve, before the fall, walked with God in the cool of the evening through the garden. I believe they had an opportunity to be with God, but I don't believe they actually saw all of the glory of God. Remember when Moses asked God that I may see you. God takes him and places him in the cleft of the rock and he passes by him, not allowing him to look, but he could see the backside of him. Israel sees the presence of God come in the Shekinah glory and dwell in the tabernacle, in the temple. You have James, John, and Matthew on the Mount of Transfiguration, where they see a glimpse of the glory of God. John gets elevated has a vision. Isaiah has a vision. Paul has visions of heaven. I think all of them have seen a glimpse of God, but they have never seen the glory of God. They have all seen pieces, but not the whole. They've all caught a glimpse of his holiness, but have never seen all of his holiness. I think when he comes in the clouds with power and great glory, the world will see him in all of his majesty. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet. In Joel chapter 2, verse 1, blow a trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Surely it is near. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Why a trumpet? Well, all through history, trumpets have been used to lead armies into battle. It has been the declaration of the presence of the coming. The trumpets blow when the king walks out. The trumpets blow when the armies advance. It became a symbol, a sign that indeed the army is here. The presence of the king has come. When the trumpet blows, and the angels will be sent forth, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. They will gather together all of those who have been redeemed, all of those who have been saved, all of those who have been hiding in the hills and the mountains and the caves during the final periods of the tribulation. They will be gathered together with the Son of Man in the sky. And Jesus will establish his millennial kingdom. He will reign. And during that time, Isaiah 11 gives us a picture. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little boy will lead them. Also, the cow and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand in the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What happens? The rapture, the tribulation, the second coming. It is the most amazing 7 years in the history of the world. It will be a destruction. It will be a time of great pain and suffering. It will be a time of great horror and terror. It will be a time where those who are redeemed will search for places to hide from the enemy who seeks to devour and destroy. It will be a time of great suffering when God begins to pour out his judgment. And the sun won't shine. The moon won't give its light. Stars will fall from the sky. If you read through the last half of the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, you discover that during the tribulation period, there is great horror. Seals are open, and judgment of God is poured out upon the earth. Imagine living. Imagine dwelling upon the earth during that time. And during that time, the gospel will go forth to all the people in every nation upon the planet of, on the planet. And many will reject it. And then the tribulation ends. And the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And he will draw from all the corners of the earth those who are redeemed. And it'll inaugurate his millennial kingdom. That's the sermon. So here's what I want to preach. Because there's two different things. I don't know if you all know this or not. I'm going to give you a little insight into my brain. You might want to hold on to something. There's two things that I like to do in all of my sermons. Sometimes some of them are easier to do than others. But I'd like to take the text, and I like to break down the text and teach you what the text is trying to teach us. And I think that's the teaching part of ministry. I like to be able to take you and kind of on a journey and teach you the things that are being said by the author. But then there's the preaching part. The preaching part is different than the teaching part, at least in my mind. Some would argue, some disagree. That's okay. Here's the preaching part of the text. Jesus is coming. Not maybe, not eventually, not in some point. Jesus is coming. The reality is that at any moment, the rapture could occur and we could all be gone. All the believers gone. If you're not a believer and the rapture were to occur, just think of the devastation of all the things that are going to take place during the rapture. Just stop for a moment and consider. What if the rapture occurs tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock? How many cars will be on the road with no driver? How many planes will be in the air with no pilot? How many trains will be driven with no conductor? How many plates of scrambled eggs and sausage and hash browns and whole wheat toast will be dropped on the floor because the server is gone? Think of the absolute unbelievable moment in time that the rapture will cause. In my way of thinking, if I was anywhere near a church at any point in time in my life, if I had even hinted at the idea of Sunday school and heard the gospel message, at the moment the rapture occurs, I'm running to the nearest person that I could find and say, somebody explain to me how I can become a Christian. And there will be those, there will be many. Even after the rapture occurs, there will be many. When the gospel message is preached during the tribulation period, there will be many who say, I reject such message. Imagine that for a second. How are you going to explain away all the things that took place at that moment when the rapture occurred. And yet there will be many who refuse to believe the gospel even after that. And then the Antichrist will come, and the tribulation period will begin, and God will begin to pour out his wrath and his judgment upon the earth. And there will be people who experience the devastation of the earth being destroyed, and they will continue to reject the message of Jesus Christ and his salvation. Oh, he is coming. He is most certainly making preparations. There is a day that is coming when he will take all of the Christians out, and the 7-year tribulation will begin, and the final moment will happen when the Son of Man appears in the sky, and all of the earth will witness the coming of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And my question for all of you this morning is simple. Do you believe? I have spent 35 years in pastoral ministry, and I have learned one thing. That there are many who know. And there are many of those who have never been born again. I know it is easy for us to think and read and answer all the questions when it comes to the Bible. But have we been changed? Have we been born again? Are we unlike what we were before? I remember thinking as a young person, if I'm not really a Christian, when the rapture occurs, I'll know it's the rapture, and then I'll be able to quickly get saved. I'm not sure that's the way it works. I think we have moments in time. I think there are moments in life where the Spirit of God speaks to us and says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I believe there are moments in time when the Spirit of God speaks and he says, come. Come. And I believe there are people who hear that voice and brush it aside. And they brush it aside. And they brush it aside. And I think God, in his love and his mercy and his persistence, will ask again. Father, I know that the day is coming when the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And we will look and we will know. Jesus has come. pray, Father, for those that are afraid of that day. I pray for those that are unprepared for that day. That this morning, in this place, at this time, they will hear and they will respond as you speak into their heart. Come. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.